Oh, my God. Is there a better way to get ready for the holiday than listening to Sharon Jones, the late, great Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings? It's a holiday soul party. We're going to be listening to that music throughout the panel this morning. Just one of the many presents we'll be giving you over the next 90 minutes. We have a fantastic panel, just an amazing group of people. We're going to get started and talk about what's going on. And, oh, my God. What a day yesterday was. So let's get started. Why put off the inevitable? Albany County District Attorney David Soares is here. Good morning, David. How are you?
I am very, very well. I am so happy to be here with this group to pick the brain of the man to my left and the lady here to my left. I just want for the record to reflect that I had dinner at the 51 in Lee, Mass. Yesterday,
I did
not use a straw, and they don't even offer you a straw unless you ask.
Excellent. Straws by request.
That's right.
A Christmas miracle.
Taking your dinner through straws now?
We are, thank you, David, for being here. One of the men you were just referring to as MSNBC commentator, best-selling author, Malcolm Nance is back. Good morning, sir. We have missed you. It's great to have you here.
I'm glad to be home. I'm up on a break from our Philadelphia house because my wife is in treatment, and she's just so happy to be back in the Hudson. This is my first question to you to think: shouldn't we be having a blizzard right now?
Yes, absolutely.
These rainy Christmases are getting sort of normal.
That's true.
It could be 65 degrees today.
Yeah, hello. Record warm temperatures around the globe.
Well, Judith Eng is here. She is a former EPA regional administrator, and she is donning a Santa hat, and she looks just perfect for the season, and we are thrilled that she is here. Good morning.
Good morning. And I love that we're going to talk about all these horrendous topics in the news, and it's interspersed by Sharon Jones' amazing Christmas music. Thank you, Sarah LaDuke.
Yes.
It's going to be a little bit of a mood swing.
Yeah, that's, well,
Just get ready.
It's hoping what we thought we would do, and this is something minor, but you try to do what you can do, which is to give us a will to live.
Thank you.
We do whatever we can do. Yeah.
I just want to say that if there is some Run DMC Christmas in Hollis, Queens, we should be throwing that up.
What are you requesting?
I'm just saying, man.
All right, we'll see what we can
next
do. Mike's eyebrows were just raised. We'll see what we can do. Alan Shardock, good morning. Also wearing a lovely Santa hat, being very elfish. Good morning, sir.
Well, that's not the first time I've been called elfish, but it's in my back of my right-hand drawer, and every year I go and I grab it on Christmas, and put it on.
So, elf on a shelf.
Land of the misfit toys.
Yeah, boy. Okay,
elf
so.
Elf on a shemato. Judith, we have missed you so much, as both men, but... when Zinke was forced out, I said, where's Judith? And this is when we really need her.
Yeah, well, I'm here.
You're here every Friday. You're doing
Fridays.
Your thing. Yeah.
Happy to say bye-bye, Ryan Zinke, worst interior secretary in history.
Say yes.
Well, all right. So
Zinke and Pruitt, they can open up a really bad law firm.
The bottom line is when you go up against the grouse, you lose.
Yeah, that's... I'm glad you finally learned that in calendar year 2018,
sage
sir.
Sage grouse rules. We are all the sage grouse, said listener Barbara. Yeah.
That is true. So I was corresponding with Judith last night, and we were going back and forth on the day that was yesterday. And I said, I think it's notable when the New York Times, under a headline that says Day of Upheaval, writes a story that begins... There is too much news to fit in this one story. That can't be good, can it? Here's what happened yesterday. The Secretary of Defense, Jim Mattis, said, "I am very upset by the withdrawal of troops from Syria, and I am out of here." Also, then, as if to spite him. A withdrawal of troops from Afghanistan was announced. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the shutdown looms. Wall Street tumbles even further. and everybody with me, do it together.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Green Acres is a place to be. My God. So nope, that was.
Hey, Joe, people may not understand because they may not have seen that.
They just went off the road.
Oh, I believe. As the world was careening from its axis, the president tweeted out 15 minutes before its. Before the signing of the Farm Bill, an Emmy appearance with Megan Mullally, yeah. God love her.
She's horrified.
Yeah, I'm
she
sure.
She tweeted.
Yeah, she was like, oh, you know, you don't get paid enough for that. And there was Donald in a T-shirt and overall singing Green Acres. It was surreal.
Yeah.
Just surreal.
Yeah. On the day with all this historic stuff happening, that's how seriously he takes the presidency.
Let's begin with Jim Mattis. The defense secretary has resigned in rebuke of Trump's worldview. I will say that if you have a chance, and we'll do a little bit of it, but if you have a chance to read his resignation letter, it is an extraordinary, beautifully written, well stated, and professional, and it is really something. But he had been repeatedly telling friends and aides over the last few months that he viewed his responsibility as to protect the president and to protect the United States, protect the troops, and that it was worth the concessions necessary as defense secretary to a president that he felt was mercurial. But on Thursday, in a rebuke of the president, he decided that Mr. Trump's decision to withdraw roughly 2,000 American troops to Syria was a step too far. He went to the White House. He had his resignation letter already written. And he did make a last attempt at trying to persuade the president to reverse his decision on Syria, which the president announced on Wednesday, stunning pretty much everybody at the Pentagon, especially when he went out and did a video and said that the war with ISIS is over. And Mattis, the retired four-star Marine general, was rebuffed and asked his aides to print out 50 copies of his resignation letter and distribute them around the building. Malcolm, I feel compelled to go to you first for many reasons.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did spend my whole life as a war fighter, and I have to tell you, this is beyond stunning. First, for General Mattis to quit, as you can see, he stood on the line for the people in the uniform first. That's what he said when they had that little Saddam Hussein roundtable at the beginning of the Trump administration, where everyone was bought in to praise Donald Trump. General Mattis didn't do that. He said that he is glad to have been in the position to help the men and women of the armed forces. And that's what a real leader is like. Apparently, that there's more to it than just Syria. It appears that the administration was going to, without any notice, withdraw 7,000 troops from Afghanistan, cutting our combat capacity in half at a time that the Taliban is actually taking districts. So
can I just step in for one second?
Sure.
You say the White House, but it seems to be pretty much solely the president.
It's Donald Trump himself. No one else is being consulted in these decisions whatsoever.
And the people who are consulted are pushed aside.
The people who are consulted are Vladimir Putin. It's Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
I'm talking about our people, but yes.
They don't rank.
Well, yeah. John Bolton and Pompeo, which are not giving good advice.
They were both blindsided, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one was asked for advice on this decision, particularly the one in Syria. Now, interesting little note. You guys may have known a few years ago, I wrote a New York Times bestseller called Defeating ISIS. Donald Trump told Time magazine it was the last book he read before the election. And
thanks, pal.
Clearly did not read anything other than the cover. abandoning Syria, surrendering to Iran, surrendering Iran all of the Levant, so that they have an unbroken series of governments with influence and control extending all the way from the Golan Heights in the Mediterranean Sea all the way around to Yemen. So bad news on all sides.
I think what's very useful for the audience is to actually pull up a map of the world and see exactly where Syria is and see that entire neighborhood and see where it is that this country has been spending the better part of the last 30 years trying to create a stable region. Not only a stable region for the people who are there, but to create a stable region for to ensure us that we have peace throughout the world. And many people, including this president, criticized the former president for pulling troops out of Iraq. And I think history tells us that, you know, ISIS began to form and gather in strength once there was a vacuum in that space. And so this same president who tweeted mercilessly criticizing the former president has just decided to do something, but do it on a more epic scale. And if you just consider just all of the different the tribal issues that exist there, the cultural issues that can, that are in existence there, the strategies which I'm sure you'll talk about a little bit more, where America stages our air bases and where we have staging points, what this could possibly mean, you know, for the future of this country.
Well, let me make one small correction for you. One of the few books that wasn't a New York Times bestseller was a book I wrote called The Terrorists of Iraq. I wrote it in Iraq in real time in 2004 and 2005. And for 3 years, it was only sold at the Camp Victory PX to people who were in there. It was a compendium of all terrorist groups in Iraq. The Islamic State of Iraq was a name change for Al-Qaeda in Iraq. It was a marketing gimmick they did in 2006. So the government of Iraq insisted the United States leave in 2008. And due to treaties signed with George W. Bush, we had to leave Iraq. And they had a power vacuum because of Nouri al-Maliki, not because of Barack Obama. Yeah. We have just chosen to surrender all U.S. influence in Syria. We are going to surrender our allies in the SDF, and it is going to come back and bite us hard.
I want to get to Judith and Alan, sure. And then we're going to take a break and we can come back, and then I want to talk about what this means for our troops. But Judith.
Well, I am very interested in what Malcolm has to say on this, but I also want to say that I think Donald Trump has handled this very poorly, and he's doing it for all the wrong reasons. But I do think that there is some value in pulling troops out of Syria, Afghanistan, not starting the Iraq war. I think there are serious problems with human rights, with starvation, with terrorism, and I'm not sure that having a troop presence in these places is essential,
okay, so,
particularly in Iraq.
But you have to have a plan.
Oh, absolutely. I think the way he's – I totally disagree with the way he did this by tweet. You have to have a plan what's next if you're pulling out. You can't leave troops behind that are vulnerable. Right. I mean, I really feel for the military families who have people serving there. Are you coming? Are you going? I think the way it's handled is very poorly, but I want to – go on the record saying that I think pulling troops out of Afghanistan, Syria is not necessarily a bad thing.
Alan?
Okay, so I have similar feelings, but I have to think that the main thing here is that he did it as a lone wolf. Mm-hmm. He did not consult with his own Secretary of Defense, who was the last stable person standing in that inner cabinet. And so it really was a question of motivation. Why is he doing it now?
You know, in the 19th and 20th century, all geopolitical decisions by nations were made as part of, in that area, the great game, right? The great geopolitical game where you made a decision or you invaded a country or you backed a potentate for lines of communication, resources, and spreading your influence throughout that region. Donald Trump doesn't do any of that. He does it for Donald Trump, and he does not care what impact it will have on the United States or its citizens. Mm-hmm. I think there is something here that is personal. Maybe Erdogan said, I will not release the audio recording of Jamal Khashoggi being murdered if you abandon your SDF Syrian partners and get your special forces out so we can kill them.
And what about Putin?
I absolutely agree with that.
And what about Putin?
And Pootie probably told him, said, hey, this is our game. And Trump works for them. He does not work in the interest of the United States. And believe me, when that trial happens in the Senate in the next 18 months at some point, this will be one of the minor charges that will be brought up showing that he has betrayed this nation.
I think the public has to remember that just before this president took office, the Justice Department was investigating the Erdogan's group of men that attacked protesters in Washington, D.C. That's disappeared. Now that Erdogan has some advantage over Trump with this murder, absolutely. I feel that this was another transaction that will have geopolitical consequences.
And it's related to Flynn. Remember, Flynn and his son were involved in thinking about a way
going
how
to abduct
extradite.
A citizen.
Abduct. Kidnap, abduct someone in Pennsylvania.
20-second warning. Go ahead.
Okay, and one last thing. Thank God for state governments right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's where the action's going to be. It's going to be in Pennsylvania. It's going to be in New York State. And no pardon whatsoever available.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we have much more to discuss in case that wasn't painfully obvious. We have a lot to talk about. We welcome your letters panel at WAMC.org. If only it could snow, but it's going to be 65 degrees, so...
Climate change.
Thank you, Judith. Good morning. Welcome to our inspiring 90 minutes of roundtable panel where we talk about all of the things for you to be thankful for and jubilant about for this holiday season. Good morning. Welcome back. It's very nice to have you all here. Alan Chartok is here. Judith Enk, Malcolm Nance, and David Soares. We have letters. Let's go to those, and then we will go back to our kvetching.
I believe it's kvetching.
We're kvetching.
It's KV, right? Kvetching?
It's not kvetching. It's kvetching.
I wouldn't argue with Alan on this one.
No, I'm not going to. I was going to say,
Mr. Washington County.
I can't pull that off.
This is special for me because it's my first kvetch.
As a linguist, you have to actually assimilate the two sounds into one.
Oh, good. And Ron says a special thank you to Judith Enk. My thanks to Judith Enk for sending her concerns to DEC regarding the proposed burning of plastic by Lehigh Cement Company in Glens.
Glens Falls.
Well, it says here Glens, and I read what's said because I thought there might be meaning in that. Okay.
Those are two big local environmental issues people need to pay attention to. The cement plant in Glens Falls wants to burn paper and plastic, not good for our lungs. And then in Queemans on Thursday, December 27th, there's a really important public hearing about restricting the importation of solid waste to be burned at the other cement plant in Ravenna, not Lehigh, it is Lafarge. So if people are in town on the 27th and you care about your lungs, that would be a good place to be at 7 o'clock.
That's a lot of pressure right there.
And John Rice Wall, good morning. Schumer should propose a bill for $5 billion for the wall that includes ironclad protection for Mr. Mueller. Merry Christmas, and that's from Jack. And Ed writes, most security crisis for U.S. since Cuban missiles in 1962, Most serious existential crisis for U.S. Democratic Republic system of government since the Civil War. Ed in Delmar, and he has a P.S. Kudos to WAMC for bringing together the A-team panel on such a critical day. Take a bow, guys. And Mike says, Syria, everyone has turned into warmongers. We can't continue to occupy countries at the taxpayers' expense. Enough is enough. This is generations Vietnam, this generation Vietnam, and it must end. And Jeff says, please rest assured, you know Trump got Bibi's blessing before he decided to remove our troops from Syria and Empire, Jeff from New Paltz. And then here's one that came in a little earlier from Jude, who says, I agree with you, Alan. The toll that out-of-control technology is taking, from Trumpian tweets to drones over the UK airports, do you think it was the Russians, is shocking. And then goes on. But I have to tell you, I have seen those drones, and they can do a lot of damage. And frankly, I don't understand why they're being allowed.
I want to take on one of the letters there, and Judith had commented on this a little bit earlier about the occupation of countries. I had just recently read an article that quoted remarks from, I believe it's the new general that's out in Afghanistan, General Miller. And when they asked him about, you know, the plan and how long this can possibly go on for, and he had articulated, he'd responded in a way that I hadn't heard before and I thought was very interesting. He said, you know, what we have to do here is teach the Taliban that they're not going to win militarily. And if you can't win militarily, you have to come to the table and engage in discussion, in some kind of treaty. And that's the goal. And I agree with you. You can't be in Afghanistan forever. You can't continue to deplete our resources by being there forever. But that to me is a winning strategy if the only thing you have left is war. And so the idea now that you have the President of the United States undercutting, you know, what this general has just stated was the major focus for them, right? And doing so without any concessions from the Taliban. The Taliban just won, okay? Mm-hmm. What you just said was, we're going to draw down, you know, troop strength. And what are you giving up, Taliban? Nothing, which continues to be consistent in the way that this man engages in any kind of negotiation. He has demonstrated not only nationally but on a world stage that he cannot negotiate his way out of a paper bag.
I'm sorry, just one last thing. And going back to previous letters,
yes,
I think we went too quickly over Ed's very good letter, and says, where he says, the most serious existential crisis for U.S. democratic republic system of government since the Civil War. I agree with that.
I agree with that. As a matter of fact, you recall when I was here before the election, and we were talking about the plot to destroy democracy, I really felt, had that election gone the other way, it would have been the end of the American experiment. And now what you're finding is the democratic guardrails that of democracy, not small d Democrat, are now going to be tested with an insane man, a megalomaniac, who has now seen all of his dreams dashed. And the only thing that, you know, and to tell you the truth, the only thing that was sort of holding him back from doing something really rash was General Mattis.
Well, I got to say something.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
I don't believe that this is a test, you know, for this administration or the test for this president. This president, during his campaign, he said, and I quote, I know more than the generals. Right? He said that.
But then he said he loved his generals.
He loved his generals, but he said he knew more.
I know.
We should have believed him then.
Yeah.
This right here is a test for this Senate. This is a test for the other elected officials that we have that are supposed to serve as a check. I mean, Lindsey Graham, every once in a while, it's almost like that Jack in the Box.
Right,
you know,
you hear
the song, you hear the song, and he pops up. You don't. You think he should have popped up a long time ago on certain issues where he stays quiet.
And he's being prominently mentioned as a possible replacement for Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, but
you got to scratch your head on that one.
Man.
But the war hawks, right, those people who've cut their teeth and made a name for themselves on diplomacy and foreign relations, they cannot sit back and be silent because of the tax breaks and because of the judicial appointments. They now have to step up, right, and take action and hold this man and put this man in check.
And your prediction?
My prediction is they have to. They have no choice.
So says you. And I will predict that they will not do a dang thing because they have not done anything.
That was dang with an A-N-G.
Yeah, so says him.
And, you know, we have seen the heart of what was once the Republican Party. I was once a Republican back when they were a national security party. They're not.
They've gone from lions to becoming purring kittens.
Worse than purring kittens in the laps of our enemies.
Worse than Well, first of all, they're not worse. They're cute.
Shaved still cats well. In the laps of our evil villain enemies being petted, and they have decided that the Republican, the hardcore,
Joe, take the wheel.
The hardcore Republican base will now dictate whatever they do, and what? They
you do this on MSNBC, or you just save this for us.
The evil villain cats.
Yeah,
you know what?
This he's is upstate.
This is a very scary movie, because we look at what we're looking at. We're looking at the possibility that Putin is running this country.
Possibility?
Yeah, I mean. You know, that's the furthest I should go, but I think there's some ample evidence that that's going on, that they've got something on Trump and that he is responding to them. That is incredibly
scary. The evidence
is
overwhelming.
And you go to that point at the debate with Hillary Clinton. And,
yes.
And Hillary
she
said,
was right.
She said, no,
Putin's puppet.
You're going to be a puppet.
No, you're a puppet. You're a puppet. Worst moment of the debate.
Yes. You were going to say.
Well, I want to rewind the tape of a few months when people said the guardrails of democracy will be supported by Rex Tillerson, John Kelly, and James Mattis. Now, I'm not a big Rex Tillerson fan since, you know, he comes from Exxon, climate deniers. John Kelly was terrible on immigration issues. And
equal to Trump.
Absolutely. But I am really unsettled about the exit of Mattis, you know, 40 years of military experience. And we could all figure out what he was doing. You know, President Trump would call up and say, I want a military parade. And he'd say, OK. And then he would slow walk it. And then it didn't happen. You know, I want to ban transgender troops, which is something Mattis didn't agree with. Mm-hmm. He slow walked it. He even went along to sending military to the Mexican-U.S. border. But I think, you know, he was trying to manage up, which is impossible with this president. And I think announcing Syria by tweet on Wednesday and Afghanistan by tweet on Thursday. And I think Afghanistan was announced by tweet after Mattis was in the Oval Office.
Yeah, resigning.
And resigned. And
well,
I think,
and telling him once again not to do it. Yeah.
So it kind of feels like that was in
spite.
Reaction.
Yeah.
Now, remember, Mattis says he's going to stay till February 28th. But I think Mattis is so winning the news cycle. President Trump will probably scoot him out earlier. And that's a really perilous time.
If I could come back to Dave's point about how the Senate will be seen and, you know, those people, what they could do and what they should do. There's a good tweet from Tom Malinowski. He was Assistant Secretary of State. And he wrote, Trump's burning down the House now. Years from now, the only thing that will matter, the one thing people will remember, is who helped put out the fire. I don't think they're going to help at all. I think that right up to the minute that it is clear that treason, in the rhetorical sense, that the president has literally accepted resources, graft, and monies from foreign powers, they will still stick with him.
I don't believe that they're going to step up because there's this overwhelming sense of loyalty to the country. What I believe is this president's continued, you know, chaotic policies are affecting not just foreign policy, but look at what's happened to the Dow, right? You have people with business interests that cross our domestic borders.
Retirement people.
You have people, but you have citizens like us who have, you know, our retirements, but you have global corporations who must do business all throughout, whose production lines and chains of exist throughout all the nations. And they're affected by this, right? And so I believe that those people will start to put pressure on, you know, other elected officials to begin you know, to put pressure on this president and hold him in check.
Okay, so where's the line? This is what's scaring the hell out of me and I think everybody else. In other words, if this guy is the master of distraction, the way we all have agreed that he is, and will go to any extent to get the spotlight off of him, where is the ultimate line that he will not cross?
I will tell you the line that I suspect he will cross, and you're all going to hate me. When I do this, and you know, people always say, you know, when you're on MSNBC, you scare the heck out of me, and yeah, it's my job. I do it well. Should things go very badly, and an impeachment looms, and the real evidence comes out that we know exists. We're already seeing all the signs of it, that he's taken monies, or that he's resorted to bribes, or that Trump Tower was the thing that he's been, you know, pandering to Putin about. He'll nuke North Korea. Because yeah. North Korea just said yesterday that they will not denuclearize now unless we remove all forces from Japan and South Korea.
I agree with you.
But let's remember as well that this was a president that less than a year ago was already calling off the military staging events
in
South Korea.
Something that disagreed with.
Right, yeah. Military exercise.
He got played.
He was already calling that off because he canceled it. But he was already discussing removing troops from South Korea.
Yeah.
Right? So this isn't—it's not going to be a shock.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be a shock when—and I discussed this on television many times. I called it the 35-minute solution. That's how long it takes a Minuteman III missile to fly from Montana
to
Pyongyang.
And let's remember what's next door, that tiny little country next to North Korea.
What, China?
We call it China, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, again, that's the reason why I'm urging the listeners to just pull up a map. This morning, as we're talking about this issue, right? Because so here's what we have. We had the previous administration that had arrived at a settlement, an agreement with Iran, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
And it was something that
yes.
was supported by all of yes. our partners throughout the world.
Hard-fought agreement.
So you were just beginning to dial the temperature down in Iran, and we created a lot of incentives for them to do that because a lot of these companies, of these countries were going to trade with Iran.
And they gave up 98% of their uranium.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's in Russia's hands now.
Surprise. All right, we have to take a break.
Okay.
Okay, and then you can go back to your map. And then we'll all be good. We'll have letters. We'll have map. It'd be great. We have Judith Henk and Alan Chartok wearing Santa hats. I just want to point out David Soares wearing a skull and crossbones sweater. Not exactly sure why.
Happy holidays.
But nothing says festive quite like the skull and crossbones.
I thought it was a 55-gallon drum of chemicals.
Hey, this is Christmas wear in Trump country.
That's very nice. You're rocking it. Yeah. We'll be back right after this.
It was December 24th on Hollis Ave at the dark when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog. Oh, my God. $1 million in it, cold hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a boat, magic car with ease. But I never steal for Santa, but that ain't right. So I was going home.
That was a very fun break. We took photos. We all got around.
We danced.
David had an earlier request, so we took a break from Sharon Jones. And
now my holiday's made. I'm good.
All right, we have more letters. Alan, go ahead.
Okay. Tim says, world affecting news. I know it's not much fun as talking about the Trumpy show, but it's Friday and Judith is there, our favorite environmental advisor. So what about our long-term prospects? Will the U.S. eventually go along with climate agreements reaching at COP24 in Poland? Will companies really start drilling in the Arctic and war now that the Interior Department has opened these lands, but crude oil prices continue to fall? Or will lawsuits and state leadership keep us from ruining our own nest? Your observations and advice on interpreting this would be helpful. Judith, can you handle that in a sentence and a half?
Sure.
I just love that you went to your notes.
I'm ready.
That. Yeah, you're ready.
It's an age of notes.
We're not going to get anything good out of the Trump administration on climate change. They're not going to honor international agreements. There is good news, however. Joe, you asked us to bring some good news on the climate front.
I did.
And that is a lot of the state attorneys general are beating the Trump administration in court, holding the line on things, but also the transition to renewable energy is accelerating. So, for instance, in Massachusetts, Alan,
there was just a
lease for offshore wind, leasing a stretch of federal waters, $405 million bids on leasing. So we're going to see offshore wind. We're going to see an uptick in electric vehicles. You know, we're going to win this debate on local and state initiatives and just ignore the Trump administration. Nothing good is happening there.
You know what I love about this? That what you said earlier about states.
Excuse me. Excuse me. People always talked about
states' rights. Go back on. Oops. I think we missed one quick. Try it again.
All right. People are always complaining about states' rights. And here they are. Here's where states can really take action.
I really hate that word, states' rights. I read a lot of politics and the Civil War. And
so, David Soares, when are you going to run for Attorney General in New York State?
I love where I am. I love my community.
Okay. Yeah. And Barbara writes, Trump's motivation on...
There's a straw scandal that I'm trying to avoid.
The Attorney General is here, right?
Wait a
Trump's
minute.
Motivation on Syria. I think the motivation for Trump's Syria decision is right there in his statement. I don't like writing these letters to parents, husbands, and wives. He wants to be liked and again puts personal adulation over making rational decisions for the common good. And that's from Barbara, who I do not agree with.
Well, we lost, 12 soldiers this year. 12 total in Iraq, Afghanistan, theater of combat. You know, there are staffers that will write that letter for you. All you need to do is sign. He is a sociopath. He does not care about people. He has no capacity for empathy. My good friend Tim O'Brien, who wrote the book Trump Nation, knows him personally well, has interviewed him, and he said he cares about no one and nothing but himself. And those letters make him feel like a loser.
That video is rather chilling to watch.
It
3
is.
Minutes of him on the lawn outside of the White House, and it's rambling, and it is rather chilling.
Did you know the White House communications team did not participate in that at all?
Yes.
That was someone's iPhone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things,
Stephen Miller's. You know, it's bad when they send Stephen Miller out last night to
and
defend
they did
these White House
an
actions.
Incredible amount of time on CNN.
Probably,
I didn't understand that
no one else would do it.
And Alan, just the writer's concern or expression that perhaps the president somehow feels bad when he writes a letter to families. He's subjected. Literally thousands of soldiers to the border, you know, in a fictional crisis. These are men and women who are not going to be spending Christmas with their families because they're going to go up there to maintain this theater of crisis that was invented entirely by this president. Yeah.
And even scarier is there's no question it is because of he doesn't like a few parents. As wonderful as that thought is, to be unhappy, it's all about distraction. It's been about distraction from number one. That's what Syria is
all
about.
Well, and this is what you have to be worried about. When I was here last week, I said this is going to be the most interesting week we've had in this presidency, right? Mm-hmm. And I was saying that just because of the fallout of a lot of the indictments and what we're going to see publicly in court. Now, watch what happens this week when we start to see more of you know Mueller's work unfolding. Then watch what happens 2 weeks from now when we see the new House, you know, begin to coalesce around.
And then you'll talk about distraction.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think. I mean, we were talking about this slightly yesterday, but today's our last show until next Wednesday. So we have the weekend, and then we have Christmas Eve, Christmas, and then we'll be back on the 26th because God knows we can't miss Boxing Day. What's going to happen over the next 4 days?
Yeah.
I mean, it will not be. And normally, that's like news death, you know, the wasteland. But that is not going to be the case.
He's going to be in Mar-a-Lago with his posse around him, you know, encouraging.
And his phone.
And his phone. But posse are billionaires who are encouraging him to do things for their own personal wealth and benefit. And I think he will become even more unhinged. He is literally in the corner right now, you know.
Exactly.
And so long as he has that phone, you know, he can do just about anything.
So the image of Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago with unpaid Secret Service, you know, people watching him and serving him, That's what we're going to see.
I think the only thing that might avert a shutdown at midnight is the optics of the Trump family being at Mar-a-Lago. But I think there will be a shutdown, and I want to introduce an even more alarming element here.
Okay, I'm going to let you introduce it, then we're going to take a break, and then we'll discuss it. Is that okay?
Let's take the break first.
Okay. We'll take a break first. Is that okay with you, Ray? We're going to take a break early. Are you ready for that? Okay. We'll do that. We'll be right back after this short break.
Can hear the music loud and clear.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. We are thrilled to have such a wonderful group before us. David Soares, Malcolm Nance, Judith Henk. Alan Chartok has letters, and then we'll go through those, and then we'll try to end with some holiday cheer. Go ahead.
Barbara writes, comparison to Obama. Amazing comparison. Mm-hmm. The other night, dearly beloved Barack Obama went to a children's hospital in D.C. with a Santa hat on. He was being what he is, a caring and compassionate human being. Will we ever have a president like that again? Barbara from New Milford. And then Joseph says about Iran, Malcolm, it seems pretty obvious that a cadre of folks in the government would love to have a war with Iran. Will they prevail? Joe in Cummington.
Nope. That's the answer.
All right. We'll take that as an answer.
Okay. Richard says, GOP resistance. Panel, I think the Republican Congress members will rapidly withdraw support for Donald Trump if a few prominent, popular in their district Republicans speak out, and then the spineless herd of GOP congresspersons will follow them. But unless Fox News, with zillions of viewers, continues to assist the administration by presenting altered facts as truth, I don't think it will happen on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Fox News and Rush Limbaugh are really influencing government policy like we've never seen before.
Ann Coulter. I mean, this thing with Ann Coulter.
On Morning Joe, they had a great discussion where they said, this isn't state-run media. Mm-hmm. It's media-run state.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the dictator is not dictating down. He's receiving his orders from Ann Coulter and Laura Ingraham.
Yesterday on the Rush Limbaugh show, he actually said, I've just gotten, communication or word from the White House that they are going to, shut down the government over the wall. They wanted to get it to him while he was still on the air. How apparent is that?
Trisha says, what about the Kurds? I think of Trump's decision to take out our troops of Syria and Afghanistan, and I see the U.S. leaving Vietnam with the Vietnamese trying to hold on to the helicopters as we left. We left them to slaughter, to re-education. Now we are abandoning the Kurds, who have been our most loyal and well-trained allies in this war in Iraq. We are leaving them to the mercy of Turkey. I'm so ashamed. Who will trust us? Trisha from South Burlington.
You should be ashamed. No one will trust us. The Kurds will defend themselves right up to the last man and woman, because they have integrated combat force. And they have 3,300 ISIS detainees that they said if they can't receive security assurances, they will negotiate a deal and they will send them back to ISIS.
With this policy, I would also think that the Kurds will be our enemy for the next generation.
We do not want another terrorist group that has been trained by the U.S. Special Forces for the last 4 years.
Interesting.
This is just ridiculous. It's like shooting ourselves in the foot. The first time we did this was in the War of 1812. We abandoned a whole army in the desert that was supposed to go to Tripoli and defeat the Bay of Tripoli. Nope, we can't allow this to happen. But Trump has cut a deal somewhere, and we've got in 2 weeks, we need to start finding out where that deal was cut.
Martha writes a letter who says, if the government shuts down, does that mean Air Force One doesn't fly? No.
Nope.
Trump's security guard bodyguards don't get paid, and the White House staff is dismissed, etc.
I do want to say on the shutdown, what is very frightening is most of the White House staff will not come in. Now, one might argue that is a good thing if it's Stephen Miller and Kellyanne Conway, but they will have a skeleton crew of, quote, essential employees. And so, the prospect of President Trump virtually alone in the White House over the next few days or a few weeks is even more scary.
So does it matter?
It Friday.
Yeah, I think it does matter. I think I have no confidence.
Why, are they stopping him now?
They're not stopping him, but I think it'll be crazier than it is, say, putting out, you know.
You think there's another level of crazy here?
Yes. The nuclear button.
There are a lot of levels of crazy.
Stephen Miller and those guys?
I know,
Bannon
and Kellyanne
and
Conway, but et cetera. But I think Trump literally alone in the White House over the Christmas holidays scares me.
I agree. Some enterprising animator out there needs to do a web video of Trump as Scrooge and being visited by the ghost of impeachment, past, present, and future.
Well, Saturday Night Live did a good piece.
It's America's Wonderful Life.
I know you guys are raising this as sort of fun, but there really, Malcolm, I know you agree with this, there is nothing funny about what's going on right now.
No, we are in mortal danger.
We are.
Okay, and I'm saying this to you as a multi-war combat veteran, intelligence officer. Yep. We are in danger for our democracy. You know what? When Nixon was in his last days, they were saying that they were worried that he would order tanks to come from the National Guard to surround the White House. I don't think we're at that level yet. I think as you say, he's the master of distraction.
I think this is going to ask
that people be arrested. There was a rumor a year ago that he wanted to arrest John Brennan.
Yeah. This is going to be the first time where we see our nation behave similarly to a banana republic.
Once the
leadership is engaged in any kind of what the leader would view as shenanigans or in danger, right? But I think that on another level, we're also going to see democracy in danger in the sense that right now we have the most aggressive movement to put lackeys in positions of authority
right now.
And so within the Department of Justice, you've got two lackeys.
Terrible.
Who shouldn't even be considered for those positions.
Well, Whitaker clearly is, well, the accusation is that Whitaker has been keeping the president informed of everything that's going on in the Mueller
investigation. Which is the reason why you are seeing the behavior. People think it's because of what's happening on the public side with the unsealing of these indictments, with the motion practice, the sentencing. People think that his behavior has been keyed into that. And I'm telling you that his behavior has been keyed into all the information that is getting back to him. Hence the reason why he was saying such polite things about General Flynn.
Without question.
Before the man was sentenced. Yeah. How could he possibly be saying that after we know that he spent hundreds of hours, right, providing information? How can the president say that unless he knew what that information was?
In 13 days, if it'll help. I'll give you any Christmas cheer. In 13 days, MAGA will stand for My Attorney's Got Attorneys. Right? Matt Whitaker thinks that he's being slick or that he was brought in. He is going to have a constitutionality challenge as to whether he should even be in that seat.
Nevertheless, he's still a disgraceful human being who's doing great damage, right?
I hope that he talked behind the back and back-channeled the Trump administration so that the House Judiciary Committee can subpoena him, bring him in, find those documents, and then have him sent straight to wherever people that betray the public trust go, which is Albany, right?
The glimmer of hope here for the people who are listening who think that, you know, there's nothing but dark, you know,
clouds. That's where I was about to go because you will remember last week I tasked you with leave us with some holiday cheer.
Because what you have working in these departments, right? Public servants who believe that they are in the service of others and not the service of themselves. Those places like the Department of Justice, all throughout government, whether it's state, local, you have people who love being public servants. Now, this man, Whitaker, would have gotten away with telling the public that, you know, he had put, you know, all these issues in front of an ethics panel and he got this favorable response. He would have gotten away with it, but for the loyal servants who leaked that information that, quite to the contrary, he was told that he should recuse himself, and he didn't.
But I
want to believe you and hope that that's the case. And I think it is the case in much of the time. But I mean, Judith will tell us from the example of the EPA, a lot of these people are leaving in droves.
They are leaving in droves, but, you know, You don't see.
That's what I'm worried about. Yeah. I mean, even Mattis, you know, the guy who said, all right, I'm going to be and try to do the good thing, finally says, all right, I'm done.
I have a little bit of a memory. I do remember Judith in the very beginning telling us she had great faith in her colleagues who were left here. Do you still, Judith?
I do. I think they're not being listened to, but they're trying to limit the damage. It's,
pardon
it's
me,
totally
sir.
Not
Would
working.
Would this be the same Judith who had faith in Miss Collins? Would it be that same lady? Oh, Senator Collins will do the right thing. She will. She will. She'll do the right thing.
You did what?
Oh. No holiday card for Susan Collins.
Wow.
David.
First of all, you hold a grudge, man.
Yeah, he's not going to let that
and
go.
And Stephen writes, I have this hope that Mitt Romney becomes the statesman he is capable of being and leads a bipartisan effort to save us from the stable genius. Man. A boy can dream, Steve.
Oh, the only one who can save us from this is the people. We should not put false hope into Mitt Romney or Lindsey Graham or Corker on his way out. They've consistently let us down. It's got to come from the grassroots. It has to be organizing. It has to be being informed and not tuning out.
Yeah, and the game those guys are playing, obviously, is we'll look for our spots to criticize this madman. But in the end, we'll be there for
them. They go along. I mean, look at the House voted for funding $5 billion for the wall yesterday, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Steve, my man Steve, who just wrote that letter. Yo, I got to talk to you for a second. You're putting all your faith in the man who left his dog on top of the car, dog.
There is. And probably lost the presidency as a result of that.
That's
dog
the truth,
the
man.
The
You're putting your faith
Collins.
In a man who left his dog on top of a roof.
Really? What kind of judgment is that? I can't let that go.
And for good Chris's cheer, Janet writes, merci beaucoup. Kudos to Malcolm, Judith, and the rest of today's stellar panel. You folks never cease to validate, educate, and inspire. This Daily Listener is grateful for all your combined experience and knowledge. Best regards and peace, and that's Janet from Ulster Park.
Thank you so
peace,
much.
Janet.
Can I give some Christmas cheer?
Yes,
I received
please
an email through Sarah LaDuke from Stephanie Newbert, and she doesn't say where she is, but she wanted to send love to my family and wishing my wife strength in her healing.
That's great.
Because she is she's a cancer survivor, and she had a little relapse. But you know what? In between treatment, she said, we have 6 days. Let's go home to Hudson, and she's going to be fine after all of this.
That's
so
great,
we'll be seeing her again. But thank you, all of the listeners at WAMC this year. I love coming back home to the Hudson Valley from the big city, and I feel your best wishes. Thank you.
That's great. John says, hi, panel, and happy holidays. I have 2 children, ages 5 and 9. They've been asking me about the president or stating that he seems to be a bully. Can you suggest ways to explain the behavior of this unhinged and potentially criminal president? I don't want them to be cynical about this country, but I already see them questioning and wondering about our government. Help! Thank you.
Call it what it is, right?
Tell them, be best. you be best. Isn't that what Melania's program for anti-bullying is called? Be, don't speak English as a first language best. The president of the United States cannot be a role model. You have to tell your children, do not behave like him. And I speak to to Trump Republicans all the time, and they're always telling me how he is the greatest president in history. And the way to disabuse them of that is to say, is that how you want your son-in-law to behave to your daughter?
What a journey from Obama to Trump.
I mean, yikes.
That's a longer conversation.
How
do we go from such an extraordinary president with not one ethics scandal on his watch during 8 years to President Trump?
Not one person indicted, not one person convicted, not one person pled guilty, zip, zero.
We were governing.
When you say those Trump supporters say that this is the greatest president in history, it makes you wonder what history books they're reading, right?
Mm. Earth 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mark says, does it really matter the fact that the Dems and media are making the troop withdrawal such a huge deal when the troop count is around 2,000? Tells me once again that the reaction is all political. 2,000 is a very small number and highly unlikely making any measurable difference. Members of the cabinet resign all the time in the White House administration. Do you think that the 4 secretaries of defense that Obama had all agreed with him all the time? This is just more news fodder for the liberal
left. Who is that guy?
Yeah, that's from Mark.
Mark,
he writes on
you're it. An idiot. 2,000 Special Forces soldiers. No, I'm talking as a war fighter here. 2,000 of our Special Operations soldiers may have accomplished the greatest feat of counterinsurgency warfare in history. We defeated an entire Islamic State caliphate of 85,000 men by harnessing our ability to use air power, ground power, and our allies in the Syrian Democratic Front. I say that with affection about you, but don't come out and say, what can 2,000 people do? You put 6,000 on the border to lay barbed wire, and they're not seeing their families this year. Mm-hmm. I spent my entire life defending your right to misunderstand this issue, but please try to educate yourself on it.
Let me just...
Mark, I try to hold them back, Mark, but you said that, man. You brought this on yourself.
You did. But here's the first sentence again. The fact that the Dems and the media, the Dems were relatively silent compared to the Republicans taking great issue with this.
And not to pile on with Mark, but it is a record number of resignations and firing like we've never seen before. And it's not even been 2 years in this administration. The A team wasn't very good. You can imagine what the B team and the C team is going
to
be like.
Since I'm wearing my Pawtucket Red Sox hat, I'm going to refer to him by his God-given name.
Mock.
Hey, Mock, listen, here's what you got to do. Go back this week and watch Fox, because Fox, I felt they were uncharacteristically very, very critical of him for this decision about Syria.
But not Fox and Friends. It's the real reporters. There are some real
reporters. Well, there were Fox and Friends folks who were also critical.
Once you lose Steve Ducey, you're gone.
Look, what he needs to do is he needs to go and watch that movie about the Special Forces horse-mounted soldiers in Afghanistan and imagine that times 2,000. That's what we did.
But Mark,
to defeat
we're glad you wrote in, because it's very good to have alternative viewpoints.
And Merry Christmas, Mark.
And Ann says, yes. Good morning, Incisive Panel. I'm so glad Malcolm said Trump's withdrawal from Syria is for Trump's interest, not the nation's. I have taken this decision to leave Syria as another piece of evidence of Trump's collusion, since the withdrawal suits Putin's interests very well. Moreover, so much of what Trump has done to the United States is just what Putin wants. Unarguable. Let's go to Colleen. Welcome back, Malcolm. Good morning, panel. I was thrilled to hear from Mr. Soros. From Mr. Soros.
Same thing.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Deep pocket Soros.
Deep pockets. Send me the check.
That 51 Park and Lee did not offer him a straw with his dinner. We are making a difference. And very happy to hear Mr. Nance's comments on the resignation of General Mattis. My question is, how long do you think we have if we can go back to Syria and Afghanistan? I'm very concerned about the Kurds and other residents of Syria. And then Colleen does a P.S. When will Rosemary be back? We desperately need her perspective on this crazy White House situation.
Rosemary will be back after the first of the year. Not permanently, but just for a visit.
A short visit.
Yeah.
Great.
And Chuck said, you said it, Alan. You said many times that when a mad dog is cornered with no way out, it will lash out in every direction, bent on nihilism. Whatever it will take to preserve itself. I guess we're seeing it now. An epic distraction to divert the attention to the landslide of destruction headed this way, and that's from Chuck in Southfield. And Dave says, this is an amazing point in history, a president with the courage and conviction to execute upon the promises for which he was elected. After 8 years of an Obama administration accomplished nothing, it is refreshing to witness democracy in motion. Wait, Iran needs another $1.7 billion panel. How about $5 billion to protect our southern border? Roundtable amnesia. Placing America's middle class first is tremendous. A gift suggestion for the show is going to 2019. Invite Oliver Stone on your panel to build on the roundtable conspiracies. Dave in Olive Bridge. Well, Dave, I think we may have some differences with your
I letter. Love when the flash goes between Earth 1 and Earth 2. And Dave obviously is on Earth 2.
Dave, I wouldn't drive. I'd stay home and allow for the effects of whatever you are taking to wear off, man. Just sit down,
And take a deep breath, my brother. Just please sit down where you are. Don't do anything and hurt yourself.
And to
Dave.
Quote the immortal words of real genius, there are many brands of decaffeinated coffee that are just as tasty as the real thing.
I'm doing it right now.
I'm sorry. Take a deep breath, my brother. Excellent.
To execute upon the promises for which he was elected. Now, let's see about that election. It is
Mexico's
true.
Mexico's going to build the wall.
And it was true that he was elected by the Electoral College, but he sure as hell didn't get the most votes.
You know, yesterday I had this criticism lobbed at me by Tucker Carlson, no less.
Oh, boy.
Went after me personally. Oh, it boy. Almost appeared that he had never heard of the Trump-Russia scandal or that Russia tried to influence our election through information warfare. The first comment on Breitbart about it was, I would rather support the Russians than a Democrat. There you go.
Maureen says moral responsibility. Trump didn't even negotiate for the Kurdish allies, abandoning them, it appears. I'm ashamed. There are brave people and refugees suffering and in fear. The wheel will turn on all of us, but happy holidays. You do have an A-team to parse this today.
You know, and, I just can't get over the whole Tucker Carlson. I mean, Aaron Pacetti brought us some gingerbread men, and I've had to really think what the gender of my gingerbread man just because of Tucker Carlson.
That,
why did you do that to my gingerbread thoughts?
That was the hard-hitting story after he said that. Everything we said about Trump-Russia was an insane conspiracy theory.
War, question mark. Erdogan must not be worried about the Black Sea or Russia heading down through the Ukraine and up from Syria to make a sandwich out of Turkey. It may come down to which sociopath is capable of obliterating the other, ignoring millions of civilians caught in the conflagration. Will Trump get the war his foreign handlers want?
You know, the one thing that we haven't talked about here is that given Trump's newest announcement this week, the impact that it's going to have on Europe with all the people that are going to be fleeing that region for fear of more war, more instability. So there's going to be a humanitarian crisis along the borders of a lot of our European nations.
Yeah, the problem is it's going to be a bunch of Brits trying to move to New York City.
I want to say one thing. I'm really very grateful for all of you who have talked about what WAMC means to you in this very difficult time. But we got to keep it going, folks, and you know what that means. Anything you can do, if you could sit down and write a check or say or make a call or go to WAMC.org right now, if you really believe in what this radio station is doing and how important it is at this very time, please do it.
WAMC.org, WAMC.org, year-end giving, and we want to get in before you
forget about
this.
What a great holiday gift idea.
It's a great holiday
gift. Don't buy
gift
plastic.
Idea.
Make a donation in someone's name to WAMC.
Well, all right. We have less than a minute. I just want to thank all of you, not only for today, but for all the time. David, we'll see you in the, we'll see you next week?
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Judith, you're on next week?
Not next week, but I'll be back the following.
Fantastic. Yeah. Malcolm, whatever your schedule allows, we always
we always
welcome you, but our thoughts and prayers with you and best of luck. Yeah.
We like you, but we love your wife. All right.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. See you next year. It'll
all
be
right.
A better year.
Good to have you here. And Alan, thank you very much. We will be back with more show coming up right after this short break.